Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hello, and welcome to another Happy Pod. My name is Nikon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Happy Pod, the only podcast in the world. My name is Nathan. As always, I'm joined by my wonderful co-host as we don't go on a journey. As always, I'm joined by Lawrence, who's a dickhead, and he's going to tell us what this silly little show is all about.
Nathan, this is the show where each week we get together to discuss something in the realm of pop culture. It could be a jawn, it could be a jawn, it might even be a jawn.
A jawn.
But a jawn.
A jawn.
A jawn. But the main thing is that we do so without any of the toxic discourse that is oh so prevalent these days. I'm surprised you didn't go with the announcer, the let's get ready to rumble
guy. Can do that voice. Do you know that's copyrighted, though? That guy, he's like copyrighted that phrase.
It's Michael Buffer, right?
I don't know who the fuck it is.
I was being humble. I know it's Michael Buffer.
Okay, great.
Imagine if it's not Michael Buffer.
I bet you felt very, very good about yourself after my faux pas in the intro, only for you to immediately do a faux pas afterwards.
I might have cut mine, so we'll never know.
You better have cut both. Okay.
Well, who knows? You can copyright a voice.
No, the let's get ready to rumble.
Wait, so you can't, no one can say let's get ready to rumble?
In like a, like that sort of saying. Like, it's the same way like Super Bowl is copyrighted. Like, that's why all the ads are like, the big game.
Oh, is that why they do that? I didn't know.
Yeah, Super Bowl is a copyright phrase. So they say, it's the big game.
Yeah. I was about to say, it sounds like a bad idea to copyright the trademark name of your game, especially amongst advertisers. But then I realised it's not doing the Super Bowl too bad, is it? Like, the Super Bowl still manages to succeed through it.
Yeah, they charge, like, what, $7 million for a 30-second ad? So
something like that, yeah.
And it will be there next year. They also charge, like, $10,000 a seat. And not, like, a regular... Not, like, a fucking VIP seat. Like, any seat is $10,000.
It's just one of them things, but if you can, I guess you will. Like, because people will pay it. There are people that are that, like, American football obsessed.
Not me.
Well, no, but it's a kind of a different culture for us.
I'm not going. I'll loudly stand outside the stadium and go, I don't even like football. American football, that is.
Do you think we're the two people on earth that you would probably have to pay and convince to go to the Super Bowl?
Oh, you couldn't pay. Well, you could. It would have to be a lot of money. You could pay me to go to the Super Bowl. But it would need to be like a decent amount of money. Like,
so they need to buy the seat and then pay us to sit in it.
Yeah. Like, if someone offered me a free ticket to the Super Bowl, I'd be like, oh, that just sounds inconvenient. Like, do I have to get there? Because that's a long way away as well.
Oh, no, they pay for the flight and everything else.
Accommodation?
Yeah, they've got that covered too. This person's
expenses.
Really invested
food,
in you going.
Food expenses. Do I get room service?
Yeah, with like an allowance.
How much?
They're already down like 15 grand at this point.
How much is the allowance though? How much are we talking? What's my daily food allowance? Okay.
Is 3 meals a day room service?
Well, just let's say an allowance for, you know, out and about visiting restaurants and stuff.
$100.
And food and beverage, $100? That's not
including
that much.
Tipping.
Yeah, tipping culture is fucking crazy in America.
Yeah.
So it's like you got to like save 20% and be like, so that fucking, I don't know, that like $50 meal you had, $10 on top of that. That's 20%, right?
Yeah, sure. I won't fact check you on it. Mainly because I'm not able to. look, I'm all for someone getting paid, but like, I'm in no rush to go to America and go out for a meal.
I have.
Do you tip, like, they tip bartenders and stuff in America? And
you
gotta
tip like everyone. Yeah.
Why?
The whole thing about, like, I think it's fucking wild. The fucking, and if you're American, sorry. But like, the like, it's because like the wages for like servers and like waitresses, or waiters, I guess, is like criminally low. It's yeah. like $2 an hour or something fucking.
And they get
insane.
Away with it by being like, it's part tip based.
And yeah, and then like, oh, you make most of it on tips. And then some, like, but it's weird because you're like, well, that shouldn't be the thing. You should have like a proper living wage for these employees. But then some of the fucking employees themselves are like, no, I prefer it this way, because like, they could make bank if they're like good enough at it and shit. But then there's some who like, I mean, it's $2 an hour. Like,
I worked in a wine bar in London over Christmas like a good 5 or 6 years ago, and the tipping culture, because it was like a nice snobby wine bar.
Yeah.
And the tipping culture over Christmas and like big bookings and stuff. If you were like, if you were assigned a room to like, oh, you're looking after this whole room, you could walk away with like a 200 quid tip.
Yeah.
Like, it's just fucking nuts because they're all too rich and they just throw 20 quids in the middle of the table.
You know what? We don't really have like tipping here much, unless you're like very rich and then whatever, you splash your cash around, like you just said. But like, it's starting to become a thing that's popping up now. And it's like, but like, we have no call for it because we have an actual minimum wage. It's not great, but we have it. All right. And like, we don't necessarily have the same excuse for it as the Americans do. And what I fucking hate is if you'll go to a restaurant, okay, have a lovely time or whatever, you have a nice meal, all right, but then you're like, oh, can we have the bill, please? And then they include the tip in the bill. They put, like, 5% gratuity onto your fucking bill. I'm like, whoa, I don't fucking order this, all right?
Slow down.
Slow down a fucking second. Like, I'm happy to give a tip, but don't force it on me, you know?
Yeah, and also the company decide. Will take half of that anyway.
Exactly, like, and who's that going to? Is that going to fucking the owner, or is that going to the lovely person who fucking looks after me this evening, you know?
I'll always try and get like a tenner out or something and like break it, hopefully have like a fiver on hand, and then like after a meal, if there's service on the bill, I'm like, can you remove that and just take this? Like, I want to give you a tip, but like, I know this isn't, I've worked in hospitality, I know you're not seeing that.
It's true.
Anyway, that's it. We've set the world to rights.
that's my soapbox this week.
Oh, how are you? You're getting over a poorly tummy.
I was a little poorly, and I'm feeling better. I made a delicious pasta.
You held it up to me. It does look quite tasty.
I want
to
eat the rest of it right now.
No, you can't, Nathan, because your mouth is close to a microphone.
I know, but I want it.
This is no episode 1 to 50 setting, all right? We'll hear every single like little morsel of that food being digested if you eat that now.
You can cut it out.
I don't want to, Nathan. Stop giving me work. Just eat before the podcast.
Oh, that's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yeah, it is with your slow cooker, yeah. You've just been waiting all day for that. Right. Nathan, it's Creed time. Been trying to get you to watch this movie for like a year.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't want to watch this movie. I never had any fucking interest in this movie whatsoever. Never wanted to watch it. You would always say, let's do Creed. And I would just be like, let's not.
How did it end up on here? How did you cave in the end?
It was, I think you just had a slot.
Oh, yeah, because we'll do, like, general stuff we both want, and then we'll give each other, like, 5 slots of a year that are, like, non-negotiable, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes you get, like a not like a freebie, but like a this is mine or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's been close to being removed a few times.
It has.
It's been on the chopping block, yeah.
It has, but somehow it stayed there. Somehow it's it's remained locked in. And I wasn't happy about it. I was kicking my feet all the fucking ever since it's been on there. I've not been happy about it, but here we are. We did it. Why did you want to do this movie?
Because, man, right, I don't know if I watched this at the right time in my life. I watched this at a time in my life where I was like, I might start to try and get a little bit fitter. A year on, I've been somewhat successful. Not enormously, but, like, I've done okay. And I was like, I've heard about this, and I don't know anything about Rocky. I've seen Rocky 1, like, 10 years ago, and that's the only time I've ever seen Rocky. And I was working on, like, some video where Creed was brought up a few times, and I was like, do you know what? I like Ryan Coogler. I'm going to give this a go. And I just watched it, and then I was like, I'm going to watch all of them. I like this. I like this quite a lot. Not the Rockies, but the Creeds. Yeah, man, I don't know. I love it, but I don't want to get into why I love it without knowing where you stand on it first.
I've never seen any of the Rockies.
Yeah.
Couldn't give a shit. Like,
that's fair. Yeah. Genuinely
couldn't give a shit. Not interested. I know one of them has a robot. That kind of piques my interest. I'm like,
the sex robot.
I don't fucking know. But one of them has a robot. I think it's even Creed's dad, Big Creed, who has a robot. And he's maybe it's Paulie. I don't know.
I think Paulie's like the sleazy one.
Someone has a robot, all right? Mm. And I'm like, and then I'm watching this, and I'm like, this is the universe where they just have a robot?
I think that's largely like, we forgot about the robot. We're not going to talk about the robot.
Bring back the robot, man. That's what I say. I want the robot in this.
What, like in the fights, it's knocking everyone out?
Just, he can just be around. He can just be on the team.
What is that? Is that that Hugh Jackman Real Steel movie where there's just robots in a boxing ring or something?
I have no idea what that is.
I feel like that was a good reference and you would have got it if you'd known and had a knowledge on Real Steel, the movie.
Why would I know what Real Steel is? What is that?
I don't know why I know what it is. I just do.
That sounds like something you made up.
I wish. I don't think it's that good.
Great.
Oh, God. That's the only thing I know, that Hugh Jackman controls a robot or something. Right. You'd never watched any of the Creeds. You never watched any of the Rockies.
Never seen any of them, apart from this one now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop leaving me hanging. Tell me.
Tell you
spare
what.
Me. Spare me and tell me your feelings.
It's fine. It's... Look, I know what you're going to say. I know you're going to be like, oh, you went into it not wanting to watch it. And that's true. I did. Okay. I did.
Okay, yeah.
And I went into it with my arms crossed. Okay.
Yeah.
And I had fun in parts. But for the most part, you know what my biggest thing about this movie was? The whole time, like, before I watched it, I was just like, I just don't care. I just do not care at all. And then I was watching the movie, and I was like, I just don't care. Like, I just could not give less of a fuck.
What, is it the sports thing?
I couldn't give a fuck. I hate boxing. I don't care about boxing. I think it's a little fucking weird and outdated of a sport, frankly. That we just watch two blokes go and punch each other. All right, great. Fucking good for you, lads. Crack on. All right. And then you got all these YouTube cunts doing it. All right. Yeah. I don't know why I'm pointing. You got all these YouTube boys doing it. All right.
They're all behind you. They're going to beat you up.
You got fucking Logan and Jake and Paul and fucking...
Logan and Jake and Paul.
Logan and Jake and Paul. And then the other one. You got them all doing their thing. And I don't like it. I'm not a boxing fan. All right.
Yeah.
So I just do not care at all. And then I started this movie and then I was like, oh, this could be interesting, you know, kind of like fucking, well, I'll get into it. But like there was a point where I was like, oh, well, now I care even less about this movie because.
Oh, really?
Because of like something that came up and I was like, oh, that's so much less interesting than what could have been. But.
Huh. I'm genuinely flawed. I have no idea what that could be.
It'll come up pretty early. Don't worry.
Okay. all right. Look, this is one of them things, all right? I'm just going to sum up general thoughts. I love this movie, right?
Okay.
I've seen it. I watched it for the first time just over a year ago. I've since seen it two more times, today included. And I've watched... Every time I've watched it, I've also watched 2 and 3. So, like, I followed it.
I had no interest to watch 2 or 3 afterwards. Oh, so I finished this and I was like, look, there's some dangling plot threads which may be resolved in further movies to come because they seemingly just forgot about them in this one. But hey, I don't care enough to follow it up. So I guess we'll never know.
It's definitely, it's intended to be seen as a journey of three movies. Like, it's, I love this. I love this a lot. I think it's, I don't know, I think it's something quite special. I think it's a good legacy sequel that does a lot with the concept of legacy rather than just being like, we're back and we're making more of these.
That's kind of an issue I have with it as well.
Oh, really? Like the legacy concept?
Yeah. I think it gets confused. I think it gets confused in its messaging about legacy.
There are some contradictions, I think.
I think there's a lot of contradictions.
But no, but I think the contradictions are based in the character's struggle with it. Like, he wants to make it on his own, but he wants to use the Creed name, but he's not at peace with the Creed name and has to learn to forgive his dad before he can actually do what he wants to do, which is be himself and box. Like,
did you like it when his mum gave him some shorts and was like, hey, be your own fucking person or whatever? And then he opens the box and it literally has his dad's fucking name on the and it's the same shorts his fucking dad wore as well.
That is who he is. That is him being his own person. He is a Creed.
Be
as well
your own
as a
person. Here, wear your dad's shorts and be your dad.
Yeah, but he's a Creed. There's a scene where Bianca says,
but that's not being
like,
your own person. That's being your dad.
I don't think so. I think there is a scene explicitly where Bianca says to him, like, let's talk about, like, he's so worried about the perception of it. And like, that's not my name, because he's not forgiven his dad for kind of what he perceives as willingly leaving him and abandoning him before he was even born. But like, Bianca says to her, like, let's actually work out what's true. Let's actually list the facts. You love to fight. You're a fighter, and you're a Creed, and all of those things are true. So what? There's no confusion on him taking on both names,
because the note says, like, the note on the box says, like, fucking be your own person or build your own legacy or whatever. Like, don't live in your father's shadow, basically. And then it's just his dad's shorts. That's just mixed messaging to me.
The design of the shorts, I'll take your point, but the name
just
being Creed is
shorts.
More.
The whole thing about I haven't seen Rocky, but I know he wore the big American shorts. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dumb, innit?
No, I don't think so. I disagree with that. I think it's him being a Creed. That is who he is. That is his personhood. Like, that's something he's rejected his entire life. But that's because he's got a chip on his shoulder about who his dad was to him, or wasn't to him, is a better way of phrasing it. And him coming to terms with that, like him not winning the fight, but taking the moment to like declare to the world, you know, if I could speak to my dad, if he could hear me, I love him. I know he didn't leave me on purpose, and I hope he's proud. Like that's the reconciliation of that. He wants to be a Creed after that point, whereas before he'd rather shun it away.
I think it's dumb.
I think I've just said something and you've gone, oh, you might be right.
No, I haven't. You can say that's all fine, but I don't think that changes the whole thing about the shorts.
Okay.
Just in terms of, from a visual point of view, in terms of visual storytelling, having a note that says, be your own person, followed immediately by him opening the box and seeing his dad's fucking shorts.
Yeah.
That's a contradiction.
Well, like I said, I get on board with the design. But, like, again, that's just one of them things. Like, that's just the legacy sequel thing, isn't it? Like, he's in the American flag shorts.
But it's also a story contradiction. It's not just a legacy thing. So my big thing was, like, when the movie started, and it was like this, like, troubled kid who was, he was in like some kind of youth detainment center or something. He's always getting into fights. He's an angry young man, all right? He's an angry young boy. He's scrapping. He's got no dad. He's got no mum. And then here comes this woman who's like, who will, you know, adopt him. She's married to his dad or some shit. I don't know what's going on. And then I'm like, okay, this is interesting. This could be something. This could be a fucking, if it's like a story of like a working class guy trying to bring himself up from the ground, you know, trying to make trying to make a name for himself and be something big. He's just a rich cunt, though, isn't he? He's just a fucking, born with a silver spoon in his, not born, but spent like from the age of 10 onwards living in a fucking mansion.
Yeah.
Never had to struggle for anything afterwards. And the whole thing, it felt so disingenuous, the rest of this movie. The whole thing felt like someone cosplaying a broke guy because he wanted the aesthetic of the downtrodden working class boxer, when in reality, he's got a bank account full of millions. And the whole thing just didn't sit right with me because of that.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, because, and like, I guess I have a different perspective on it, because,
like, when he pulled up to the mansion, I was like, oh,
but that's the home of like Apollo Creed, right? Like, right, it's going to be a mansion.
Else. Write someone else. They lost the money. I don't fucking care, do I?
They'd have to lose a lot of money.
Well, they can. He died.
I mean, his money didn't get buried with him, did he?
Well, you can lose money.
I guess you can lose money. No,
there was some greedy fucking manager who screwed her out of it and did some creative accounting and stole it all for herself.
Just, yeah, now Creed has to fight her in the ring.
No, I remember himself.
Give me my money, he says.
No. You know what I mean, though? Like,
no, I can. Look, it's difficult because you're coming at it from seeing this movie and this movie only. And there's a point to be made that it should stand on its own, but I have a different perspective on it.
And this is the first one. So, like,
yeah, I know, but 2 and 3 do go into a bit more of his youth and his upbringing and, like, his relationship with his mum when he was younger. Like, there is, it is expanded on.
That's not this movie.
No, I know. And I kind of can get on board with what you're saying about the, like, cosplaying as being a guy that's like, oh, you know, I need to go and do the working class thing. I need to go and, like, work my way up. But
he, like, even moves into this apartment, which is, like, it looks like a little bit, like, bare bones and empty. First of all, it would cost, like, $1 million, that apartment. Right?
Yeah, it's movie rundown. Yeah,
it would cost, like, $1 million, okay? And then he's, like, and then he fucking moves in with Rocky as well. Like,
yeah.
Why is Rocky not rich? All right, why is Rocky living in this? He should have millions.
Because he doesn't care.
He's like, everyone knows him. Like, he's the champ boxer. Like, he's fucking world famous. Everyone knows him. But he's just running his little Italian restaurant or whatever. He's just, like, putting away the cans of tomatoes, just like a little normal guy. Like,
because he's a down to earth guy.
Where's his money then? Like, why is he like, I paid the bills, we're all good. What's all this cosplaying going on? I don't get it. I don't like it. It feels so disingenuous.
I don't know. For me, like, it's not.
It just feels like they're just trying to have the aesthetic of a struggling working class guy without realizing or addressing the fact that they all have millions in their bank accounts.
I do see where you're coming from, but the conflict
and
for me is more.
I looked into it, and Ryan Coogler went to private school.
Okay, what's the problem?
That's what I'm saying.
But the movie's not about money or that kind of. But the movie's not doing that. The movie's about mental strength and, like, overcoming demons that aren't financial. Like, it's at no point is he like, I can't pay my rent. I need to box to pay my rent. If that was the case, and he obviously had money and was brought up in a mansion, then I'd take your point. But at no point is he like, I'm struggling with money right
now. No, he's not. But, like, he's still trying to. It's still this whole cosplaying aspect, which just feels very disingenuous and frankly boring as well. It would have been more interesting if he was broke. Really, if he was just a genuinely a working class guy who did have to struggle, instead of just some little richy rich prick.
Well, I mean, the money he's had from his family and his mum, I can't imagine she was willing to part with a lot of that when he left. But then the bag of actual money he has, that, like, that's not money that he can, like, willingly spend. It's like illegal,
like,
fighting money.
She's not like your cut off now, is she?
No, but she does. Well, she kind of does. She dodges his calls all movie, and the last thing she says to him before they touch back at the end of the movie is like, if you're going to go and pursue a life of a fighter, you don't need to call me. It's fine.
He has enough to move to fucking Philadelphia on the other side of the country, by the way, and fucking buy himself $1 million apartment.
I don't know if the movie's telling us it's
a
$1 million
apartment. All right, he's doing fine. Okay.
All right, fine. All right, look, you obviously have this about you. All right, it's fine. We can move on. I do see where you're coming from, but I think it's largely not the point it's making. If it was making more of a point of, like, I'm a working class guy, I need to work my way up to the top, like,
no, but it's selling that aesthetic though.
Yeah, but then that's the mindset.
That aesthetic.
Having that amount of money and then still saying I want to make it on my own. My fighting name is Johnson. I don't want to be attached to this legacy. Like, that's, again, that works towards the contradiction that he's doing. Like, the world won't see him as anything other than a Creed in the world of boxing, but he's, like you say, maybe the cosplaying is a kind of an intentional character choice on that juxtaposition, on that being torn between two worlds and not really knowing your place between either of them. Like, I don't know, I see what you're saying. I don't know if I think it's really what the movie's ever trying to delve into, so I'm not going to take off points for it.
I know it's not what the movie's trying to delve into, but I do think it's a fair critique of the movie.
Yeah, and you're right. It probably does make it less interesting to, like, someone that's not coming at this that's, like, I came at it quite interested. You came at it, like, I'm not in the mood for it. So you,
The movie needs to win me over, all right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah.
And if it's giving me rich fucking private school boy, then I'm like, I don't care, no.
You must have been me and my Saltburn criticism mad to go into, like, where was the director grown up? Where did he go to school then?
True, yeah.
Nathan, free yourself of my Saltburn pain.
I know he fucking didn't go to school nowhere near fucking Philly, I'll tell you that much. I know more about Philly than Ryan Coogler. Fucking ketchup on mayo on a cheesesteak? Are you kidding me? Fuck off, mate. A fucking war crime.
Right? On a jaun, Nathan. Look, all right, I've been a Subway. I've had a Philly cheese.
No, you don't dare, all right? That is not a Philly cheese.
What, you didn't fucking grow up there. Calm down.
No, but look, I'm a larger man. I appreciate a good cheesesteak, all right?
I appreciate a cheesesteak.
I know exactly where you go in Philly for your cheesesteak. You go to Pat's, all right? Everyone knows this. You go to Pat's. They got the world famous cheesesteak. It's great. Yeah. It's good stuff, okay?
Not me. I go Subway.
This is what you get. You get a cheesesteak, you get it with onions, you get the fucking whiz cheese or provolone if you're feeling fancy, all right? Yeah. You don't get peppers, for starters, all right?
Nah, you got a bit of peppers. That's nice.
No, this is cheesesteak, Lawrence. You don't understand. You're not getting peppers on your cheesesteak. You're getting it with onions and cheese, and that's it, all right? That's okay, all you need, all right. Simple ingredients, okay?
If anyone's from Philadelphia...
You're definitely not getting fucking ketchup and mayo on it, all right?
If any of our listeners are from Philly, please write in and give me a 1 to 10 rating on how accurate Nathan's depiction of a Philly cheesesteak is.
It's up there, I'm telling you.
I've got to say, it does sound like you knew more than I was prepared for you to know about a Philly cheese.
I know more than Ryan Coogler, I'll tell you that much. That's a man who's never even had a cheesesteak. Look at him.
He might have done it when he was there.
No.
They're in Philly. They shot this in Philly. He might have had one.
Yeah, with... A wrong one.
A wrong one?
Yeah.
Get your fake Hollywood cheesesteak out of here, Ryan Coogler.
An inauthentic one. Stop calling Ryan Coogler Hollywood.
God, I always know when you don't like something because you get really angry. You get really bitter and like...
It's not that I don't like it. It's fine. It's so aggressively fine, you know?
I don't know. I think it's cool. I think it's good, man.
I just don't care. This is my favorite. I knew this was going to happen. I just knew I'd be like, I just don't care. And here we are. I just don't. You know? I'll tell you what I do like. I like the performances. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? I like Michael B. Jordan. I think he's a great actor. I think he's good. I like Tessa Thompson. I think she's good. Surprisingly, Sylvester Stallone is very good in this.
He's great
in this,
right? I was like,
what the fuck? You can act?
Yeah.
Where was you hiding that all these years? You know?
Yeah.
Well, like, fucking hell, I'm sure you've had a stroke at some point, but like...
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but hey.
He's a great kind of like older, like obviously in these legacy sequels, a lot of the time, as everyone knows, they'll bring back the star of the main one to be like a mentor type figure.
He's Luke Skywalker.
Yeah, literally. But I like in this that he's like, he's not just, they haven't just brought back Sylvester Stallone to play Rocky who he was. They've brought him back to be like, what, you know, what's iCloud? What cloud? Hey, don't you need this piece of paper? No, I took a picture of it. What are you talking about? he has not kept up with anything, any technological advancement, which is strange because he once owned a robot.
It's true. Where's the robot? Bring back the robot. I don't understand this. Maybe the robot died at the grave too.
He's just talking to a third. There's a third grave off screen, buried. It's the robot.
It's like a metal grave.
But yeah, no. The performances I really like in this. I think it's. Tessa Thompson is brilliant in this. She's probably my favorite. Other than Creed, she's probably my favorite character in this. I just am a big, big fan of the way she's kind of woven into the story in this way that she is also someone chasing dreams, but is having an internal fight just like Creed is. And they kind of meet each other at the perfect time in their lives. And they have this wonderful kind of intimate bond. And she's like a sounding board for him. She's way more emotionally intelligent than he is. And she's able every now and again to like speak to the man who underneath the fighter to be like, you're throwing all these punches, but like, why are you like, why are you angry about this scenario? Let's actually work this out. So yeah, I like her a lot, and it's a good accent.
Is it an accent?
Yeah. She's doing a big old Philly accent, isn't she?
And you know what a Philly accent is, do you?
It's a jaun.
Okay. You've got the ear to detect a Philly accent in the crowd, have you?
Well, I know it sounds probably a bit like this. What I'm saying, it's not her normal voice, and she's very good at it.
Okay.
I know how Tessa Thompson normally sounds.
I didn't even know she was doing an accent. If you'd have told me that's your voice, I'd be like, it's probably your voice.
You've seen her in other stuff. You know she doesn't speak like that.
I've seen her in Marvel, where she's like, hello, I'm Tessa Thompson.
Oh, yeah, I guess she's doing an accent in that as well, yeah. You've seen her on, like, a Graham Norton show?
No, I'm not watching Graham Norton.
No, why not?
Why would I?
I don't know. I think he's a good host. He gets some good stories out of the guest.
No, they're all fake. They're all. They're all pre-written and fucking fake. They get writers in and everything. All their fucking show banter is all pre-scripted. Sorry to break the illusion, everyone, but that's all pre-scripted, all right?
Let me live in the illusion, Nathan, no. Please. All right, her performance, I don't know, what's your favourite performance in this?
Probably Sylvester Stallone, surprisingly. I think it's genuinely a great performance. I just wasn't expecting it at all, like... Because he's the fucking...
Yeah, he's the guy that is known for not being able to change his voice all that much.
Yeah. Like, and look, there's a lot of it in this movie. He is often like, hey, kid, you got a punch like this. But, like, it's surprisingly good. And some even quite, like, fucking emotional scenes and stuff. He does do a fucking... Surprisingly, a great performance. I wasn't expecting it at all, to be honest. Jordan's Michael B. Jordan. Like, you know you're going to get something good with
He's B. crushing Jordan. It. Yeah, he's so good.
He's so fine, yeah.
Wait, hang on. Are you saying he's fine as in he's sexy or he's fine as in he's average?
Both. Oh. No, like...
Come on!
He's not average, but it's what I expect, you know?
So that doesn't make it less impressive.
No, it kind of does. Because it's like, yeah, I'm expecting it to be good. So there's no surprise there, you know.
I think he's like he's standout pretty brilliant in this.
He's
like,
brilliant, but I'm also expecting him to be brilliant.
Okay, so he didn't knock you off your feet like Sylvester Stallone.
I'm not watching this movie like, whoa, where's this Michael B. Jordan kid's been hiding? You know, like I'm not discovering Michael B. Jordan for the first time.
No, I know, but you can still say it was a good performance.
What would that have been in? Found Four Stick, probably. I don't fucking know.
No, that movie where everyone gets superpowers or something.
Chronicle. Yes, you're right, actually. Chronicle, yeah.
Yeah.
Chronicle.
And Dane DeHaan is there.
Three people get superpowers, Lawrence. Not everyone.
Well, but there's like only three people in the movie, really, isn't there?
No, there's a lot more.
Well, he's one of the ones that gets superpowers.
There's Dane DeHaan's dad.
I mean, I have not seen this movie in at least 10 years.
I don't think it's 10 years old.
It definitely is. This movie's over 10, or almost 10 years old.
This movie came out in 2015, Lawrence.
Yeah. So that's almost 10 years.
We'll be next year.
Well, shut up. Chronicle was before this movie, so I'm right. I still win the point.
All right, great. I don't care.
Ugh. I don't know where to go with this, because I want to just dig in.
Well, dig into what, though?
I have 3 pages of notes.
Oh, great, we'll fucking mention one of them, then.
What do you think about the like the actual fights themselves? I think they're fucking good.
First one was...
Which one's the first one?
Oh, well, like the...
The sparring or the actual first fight?
No, like the fight he has against the tattooed boy.
Yes.
Like Rocky's friend's son or whatever.
So the first main fight, then?
Yes, yeah. Like, it was like halfway through the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that one was good. The main fight was a bit, like, underwhelming, I think.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, it was
what
a bit
hang on, what does it for you? What do you need to stimulate your brain? Like,
not boxing, for a start.
I guess that, yeah, that's a part.
Yeah, okay. I don't know, like, I thought it was very underwhelming in the way it ended as well, because it was like, oh, you gotta get up and fucking win this last round or whatever, and then he, like, just kind of stumbles his way through the last round by not getting beat up. And I'm like, I know the whole thing is like he loses the fight, but he wins the night or whatever. That's a fun thing to say. But like, it's boring. What about like a fun fight ending? I don't know. Knock him out. He's a prick.
But he doesn't, that's not, but knocking him out isn't the point, right? Winning.
I don't care about the point. I want to be entertained. Right.
Be entertained by the emotional aspects of it, Nathan.
No, I don't fucking care about the emotional aspects. Right. I want to be entertained by a movie. I don't think that's too much to ask.
So, the final fight, the ending fight, you think is underwhelming?
For the most part, yeah.
Oh, see, I don't understand.
I've also only seen this movie once, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the first time to experience it fresh. That's like how people watch real fights. Like,
I'm not out here watching real fights, to be honest with you.
No, but what I'm saying, the point is, like, if it didn't nail it in the first go, you're probably not going to find it more satisfying on a second watch.
What I'm saying is, I haven't fucking studied this movie like you have, okay?
I haven't studied it, I've just watched it a couple of times.
Fucking hell. I've... Forgive me for wanting to be entertained, okay?
I'm not coming at you.
Egregious crime when watching a movie, all right? Fucking hell. But I just think it was a little... I know the idea is more about the fucking emotion and what it means for him and like fucking all that bullshit. I get it, all right? Trust me, I get it. I just don't care, okay? I just do not care. I want to be entertained. And it was more just like two guys just occasionally hugging each other. And then his eye got hurt. I did like the part where his friend was like tapping his shoulder, where he was like, how many fingers am I holding up? Four.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty cool. Sneaky. I like that. But other than that, boring.
That's a big moment for Rocky, not throwing in the towel. It's a big Rocky thing.
I haven't seen Rocky. I don't care about Rocky. I haven't seen it. I know he runs up the stairs. Yeah. And he punches some fucking dead pigs or whatever.
Why are you getting so gross?
I haven't... because you're fucking... You're like, oh, if you'd seen Rocky, actually, you'd realize...
I never said that. I'm just saying it's a thing that Rocky does.
I don't care about Rocky, all right? This is what I said. I said I didn't want to watch this because I haven't seen Rocky and I don't care. And now you're saying to me, well, actually, in Rocky, this is a thing.
But yeah, it is a thing in Rocky, but it doesn't like go. That doesn't negate the enjoyment of this movie. Like, I'd seen the first Rocky over 10 years ago when I first watched this.
Still seen like, it.
yeah, but I don't remember anything about it. I remember that... fucking Sylvester Stallone's like, I want to fight this guy, and then a guy gives him a chance and he's like, thank you for letting me fight, I'm now a fighter. Like, it's that's Rocky.
Sounds boring.
For fuck's sake. No, the reason I bring up the fights is I think they're fucking, they're very technically proficient and cool, right? Like, because the first one, the one that is your preferred one, that's for the most part a one take, and I just think that, like,
that's why I like it. It's at least interesting to watch.
Yeah,
it just felt boring. Just felt like an actual box. It felt like a boxing match. I'm like, great.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, but I've seen boxing matches, and I'm like, I have no interest in this. I don't care. Do you know how I can compare this? All right, Ted Lasso. All right.
Yeah.
Genuinely, I've never given a shit about football. I genuinely got excited watching Ted Lasso, okay?
Yeah.
Genuinely got excited in the football matches because they shot it in a way that was interesting, okay? It wasn't just like a fucking game of football that I was watching, okay? They actually had stakes in it. They actually had shot it in a way that was visually interesting and all this
stuff.
You don't
think there's stakes in the final fight?
No, I do. That was the wrong thing to focus on. It was more just on the visual thing, okay? But this, the way it was just a boxing match, and I was like, I just don't care about this, you know?
But is it not engaging for, like, the aspects?
What is the difference between me watching this and fucking KSI versus Jake Paul or whatever, you know?
Well, I haven't got a movie telling me that KSI really needs this for his mental health capacity. Like, I do see what you're saying, but I think it's way more than that, and it hinges on the rest of the movie landing for you. I get it. If you didn't gel with the whole movie, I can understand why the final fight is probably going to be, like, if I'm not invested in the stakes of this, then I'm not really giving a fuck about it, the outcome-wise. I do think it's shot interestingly, though. Like, I'll get to the first one in a sec, but they frame the final fight in quite an interesting way, I think, where it does jump between being standard boxing match, kind of, you know, mid-shot upwards, cutting to, like, four camera angles. They keep intercutting, like, little moments where... Marianne, his mum, is like watching it at home. Like, I don't think it ever gets lost in the boxing showmanship of it all. Like, it always reminds you that this is a personal story. Like, it cuts to Rocky's reactions, and I know, like, reactions are one thing, but then, like, Marianne watching it on the TV and like interjecting with it and getting...
Marianne's always stood in the same place in that house, all right?
Yeah,
she's always stood behind the couch. Sit down, woman, all right?
Ding.
What are you doing?
Ding yourself.
All right. She's got a mansion. Fucking use it.
Yeah, God, she should put a TV in every corner of her room. That's like you saying, oh, I can't believe everyone watches the TV in the same spot in their house.
No, she's
I should have put my TV upstairs and watched it today. God forbid.
She stood in the same spot every time you see her. That's visually
she's nervous, Nathan.
No, I'm eating every scene.
All right. The first fight I like a lot. The one take is interesting. But why I said it was like technically proficient is I like the... Like it's a boxing movie. It will largely hinge on whether the punch feels like it lands or not. And in a one take with like choreography, that's pretty tough to do. Like the camera operator has always got to be like in the right place to make it look like that choreography is an actual punch. And I don't think they pull their punches is a, you know, maybe pun not intended phrase, but like I think it gets with the sound design working in tandem with it. I think it is quite effective at being really impactful. Like you feel those punches. There's a moment where Creed gets in his like sparring session, he gets like lumped on his ass, and the camera does that Sam Raimi special where it just follows his head and tracks him, where they actually dropped the camera onto the floor so it felt like it was hitting the mat at the same time he did. Yeah, I don't know, I think all of that stuff's really cool. Like, and also, like, I've never obviously attempted to do anything like that, but it must be fucking really hard to nail that as an operator.
No, I'm sure it would be. Yeah.
What else do I like about this?
I like it when he wins the first fight and then they're celebrating like, yeah. And he turns to Rocky and goes, let's fucking tear up the town. It just hard cuts to the three of them just asleep in front of the TV watching like fucking Skyfall or something.
I said I've got a note that he's Adonis is like you for real because watching Skyfall sends you to sleep.
That was the joke that like really made me laugh. I told you earlier there was one thing that like just fucking killed me. That moment. It was so good. It was so funny.
Let's tear up the town. Just cut to him straight asleep on the bed. Yeah.
That was the best part of the movie.
No, for fuck's sake.
That one joke. That was the best part.
All right. Let me go through some of these notes, otherwise I'm going to cry that I didn't get them all out and sadly delete them from my Google Doc.
Okay.
I like that even his first conversation with Rocky is this, like, the inciting action of the scene is that he wants a trainer. Like, he goes there to be trained and to kind of make Rocky's acquaintance. But the first thing he says to Rocky is a question of how did he beat his father? How did he overcome him? And I think it's a nice kind of reflection on who he is as a person. Like he's quite combative in conversation. Like he goes, oh, the home phone still works. You never called it. You gave a nice speech at his funeral. At his funeral though. Like he's very much like, fuck you. Even though he's come to ask him for a favor. And one of the only things he actually asks Rocky that's somewhat personal is how did you overcome my dad? And that's this entire movie. Is Adonis trying to overcome the presence that his father still holds over him. Like I guess the movie wants me to think he's like 26. He's definitely like 33, but like, yeah, I don't know. And I quite like that. It's good character introduction. I like those scenes.
Must be really difficult for you being friends with me sometimes.
Yeah, it is sometimes. Yeah.
Because like you're saying all this and it's very eloquent and it's like, it's well put together and stuff. I'm just like, but I just don't care. I just couldn't give a shit, man, you know? And like,
it's definitely challenging when you don't care, yeah.
I'm sorry, okay? I would like to, but I just don't, okay? And I can't lie. I get what you're saying. I get like the intricate points. I get the struggle Creed is facing about his father and stuff. And some of that does come across interesting in the movie. I do like the moment where like he like really fucking breaks down when he finds out about Rocky's cancer. Also the cancer thing, okay. The thing that fucking made me was a weird phrase to say, made me laugh,
yeah,
about
the
cancer.
I was cracking up.
Yeah, all right.
When this sad lonely old man got cancer.
No, but like the whole scene was so fucking telegraphed though.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
They have like, here's all these pamphlets about this cancer you have. All right, oh, I'll take these. I don't want anyone to know. Keep it between us, all right? Here, let me put all these pamphlets in my pocket. Here I go, walking into the gym with all the boys with these pamphlets just sticking out of my pocket in plain view for everyone. Here I am going into the locker room, boys. I'm just going to hang up my coat here. Let me hang up my coat with all these cancer pamphlets just sticking out of plain view in my pocket. Sure, hope no one comes in here and looks through these cancer pamphlets. Come on, man.
You come on, man. And when I say come on, man, I mean ding yourself.
No, I'm not
again.
Dinging myself.
That's
no.
the plot. That's just no. progression of the plot. How but are you going to tell me you like Rise of Skywalker and then moan about these plot indicators?
Because it was so... It was telegraphed. It was like fucking...
Ray, go get this knife that's the same shape and stand in this right place to look at the Death Star. It has to be in this exact same space, though.
Where was that telegraphed?
I'm talking about plot contrivances, Nathan.
I'm not. I'm talking about things being telegraphed. Okay.
But that's just foreboding in a movie. That's just something that happens in every movie.
Yeah, well, dull.
I can't believe in The Matrix there was a computer on screen.
That's not what I'm saying.
That's a bit on the nose.
You're being incredibly facetious now. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, I am, but I think you are too.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that it was very obvious how it was all going to play out. And it was like they played into well-established tropes. Okay.
Yeah, I get it. It's like the sitcom character might be pregnant, so they burst down the toilet door stall. They're violently sick, and then they go, I know what that means. Like, yeah. I understand it is a bit that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's the most interesting part of the movie is those character conversations. Like, get me to the moment Creed finds out.
When Sylvester Stallone, like, saw him reading the pamphlets, he might as well have looked down the camera and went, well, that just happened, you know?
Yeah, but then it leads to like this fucking absolutely beautiful scene.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That I like. That is a good scene with great performances and a really genuinely emotional scene. Yeah. But then we get to it with this silly little slapstick fucking routine, you know?
I don't know if it came across as a slapstick routine.
No, it doesn't. It's just
tried and true tropes of an industry. Like,
it's a little silly, is what
it's,
it is.
It's screenwriting things, isn't it?
It's just silly.
I don't know, that save the cat thing. Your hero's got to do something good in the first 5 minutes so you know they're a good dude. Like, that's just, it's just one of them things. Every movie does something like that to a degree. You could find something like that in every single movie you watch.
Yeah, but when I don't care about the movie, I'm more likely to find something like that.
I think, like what you said about me making all these, like, eloquent, beautiful points. I think you have two modes. You have the mode of, like, I'm going to dig into every facet of this movie, every aspect of, like, everything I can get from it, if you like it. And if you don't like it, you're like, I think the way Rocky said one thing was dumb and I hate the film.
That's not what I'm saying.
And no, you know I know, that. But I'm...
And
look,
now
I'm being...
you're being facetious and you, and yet you're doing that thing which is exactly what I said you'd do, and you're not taking any of my criticisms seriously, okay? And you'll just think I've got my little head on.
No, I took your first two points seriously about the cosplaying as the rich person. Like, I think they're genuinely really interesting points. I just don't care how fucking Adonis found out about the cancer pamphlets. Like, that doesn't faze me at all.
And I don't care about fucking boxing, all right?
It's a boxing movie, Nevin. You have to meet it where it's at to a degree.
I didn't choose to watch this movie.
No, but you did, and now we're here. Right?
I was forced to watch this movie, okay? I told you I didn't want to watch it, okay?
The next time you make me watch something I don't want to watch, I'm just going to be like, well, actually, I hate this genre, so...
I'm not saying that. At no point have I said that, okay?
But what I don't get is, like, those things like where you say, like, Ted Lasso, and I'm sure... is there any other sport movies or, like, sport things that you, like, really enjoy?
I like sport.
No, but, like, I'm talking specifically, like, translating it into film. Like,
I like tennis. Maybe I should watch Challengers. I've heard good things.
You should watch Challengers. Shut up. I'm not biting.
What?
I'm not doing this. I know you're doing this. I told you about this movie too.
I've seen Wimbledon 2004.
This is your new favourite joke. Stop it. No one else finds it as funny as you do.
I think it's great.
I know you do. That's the worst thing. I know you really do.
I think it's top tier. What other sport movies do I like? I'm sure there's sport movies I like. I can't think of any now.
Well, it's not a movie. You mentioned Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso. Google some stuff.
The Iron Claw.
Haven't seen it.
Gran Turismo.
Haven't seen it.
Creed.
How are you Googling sport movies and the first thing you get up is fucking Gran Turismo?
It's just one of the first things that's come up.
How?
I typed in sport movies. Moneyball.
Haven't seen it.
Rush. It's about driving cars, I think.
I know it's about driving cars. Ron Howard directed.
Ford v Ferrari.
Haven't seen it. I'm not a dad.
Southpaw. That's another South boxing Park? One. South Park.
I've seen South Park.
Yeah, it's all sporting movie. I'm sure there's a million, but there's not a lot coming up. The Karate Kid.
I've seen The Karate Kid. Okay. Yeah. Quite enjoy The Karate Kid, both the original and the Jaden Smith version. That's right. Sue me. I like it. I think it's fine.
What else is there? Let's have a look. The Big Lebowski.
Haven't seen it.
Bend It Like Beckham.
I've seen Bend It Like... I like Bend It Like Beckham because it's mostly a comedy and it's great.
Yeah, it's a very funny movie.
Bend It Like Beckham's great. Remember when that guy said, of course I know what racism's like. I'm Irish.
Yeah. It's a different time.
To a Pakistani woman.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so like genuine as well. It's like, of course I'd know how that feels. How could you assume Irish? I wouldn't? Yeah.
And look, I know it was a difficult time for the Irish at one point, but come on, man.
It's the only joke in that comedy that doesn't feel like it was intended to be a joke.
It's not a joke. Yeah. It's not a joke.
What is it that makes you interested in those movies if it's not
a good movie?
You have to know that this is like widely regarded as one of the best legacy sequels.
No, it is. Okay, that's not fair. Okay, yes, this is technically a good and well-made movie. I can understand that from a... I don't want to say objective point of view because that's wrong.
I thought about this the other day. I think people's perception of a movie is of course like subjective, but I think there is an objectivity to talents in terms of technical ability. Like I could go out and try. No, think about this, right? I could make Creed with the exact same script, the exact same actors, but I would make it. I would make a much worse version than Ryan Coogler would be able to because I'm not a director.
And also, you don't have $150 million.
No, but what I'm saying is if the studio went, here's $150 million, here's $150 million, both of you go out and make the same movie, he'd make it better because he is objectively better at this thing than I am.
Well, yes, because he's a trained fucking director.
Yeah, I'm not... But that's the point I'm making. I think there is objectivity in art when it comes to the technical ability of the artists.
I still feel uncomfortable saying it objectively, though.
But I think it's objectively made very well. But it doesn't have to be for everyone, and that's the subjectivity.
And look, whatever. It's well made. Technically, it's very proficient. It's well made. It's got good performances, okay? I know if you want to just say, sure, fucking 8 out of 10, whatever, won't disagree, all right? But... I just don't care. This is the thing. I just don't emotionally connect with it. There's nothing in this movie for me to emotionally resonate and connect with. Okay,
I can't relate to this
fucking Richie Rich private school kid who's cosplaying Broke. I can't relate to Rocket. I don't have cancer. That's facetious, but you know, like, yeah. It's just, I don't know. I just don't. I know, like, critically and technically speaking, it is good, but it's just not something I'm interested in, okay?
And that's fine.
It just has not hooked me in that way. And so because of that, like, when we're watching these scenes and to you, it'll be like, oh, yeah, this is fucking great, let's go. I'm just like... I really want to see what's going on Twitter right now, you know?
Really? You were that disengaged?
No, I wasn't. But it's just... I don't know. There's a difference between this and like those like scenes in Ted Lasso, where it is like.
I think there is too. I think these are better.
I disagree.
And there's that classic subjectivity we were talking about. But like,
yeah, there you go.
I don't know. For me, I just think that they're like, yeah.
On a technical point of view, probably yeah. This probably is better on a technical point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
But in terms of, I don't know.
Well, if you connect and care about certain characters more, yeah, you're obviously going to care about their plight more than others, yeah.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the way of the world and how it goes. All right. Can I list through some of my notes?
Sure.
You have to at least pretend to be interested.
I don't.
Can you at least be interested in what I have to say about the movie?
I can be interested in what you have to say, yeah.
Okay, thank you for meeting me at the bare minimum of the movie podcast requirements.
You asked for this, okay?
I did.
Just remember, okay? Just remember, all of this is your doing, okay? I told you. I fucking told you, okay? I warned you for months, okay?
Look, here's the thing. Sue me. I thought you might enjoy what is largely regarded as one of the best fucking movies of that era and
well,
this
Lawrence,
genre.
What happens when you put me in a box? You should know this by now, okay? What will I do?
Yeah, you will.
What will I do?
You, I don't know. I think you sometimes enjoy a contrarian point of view. I think you like.
No, this is not me being contrarian. I feel like if you think this is me being contrarian, that's not fair. Because I feel like I've been very honest and explained why it just does not connect for me.
No, I. Look,
and that
there
is
are...
not being. And I've also said technically as well, it is very good. And from that point of view, okay?
Yeah.
I've
yeah.
not just been like, well, I don't like it. You know?
Okay, fair enough.
Which
yeah,
I
yeah.
think is your idea of me sometimes. You know?
I get agitated when I can't express my love for this stuff.
You can express it.
I know. I want you
I
to
don't
love it
share
too.
It, but you can express it. Okay. Do you think I'm contrarian?
No, no.
You're giving me a complex now.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm also exaggerating for comedic effect, Nathan.
Well, what happens when you put me in a box?
You don't like to be in one. I'm aware
exactly.
of this.
And I'll say fuck you, and I'll make my own box.
It's true.
It's what I do.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, I was pre-warned. It's true. Right, I think for a movie that its main goal is to fucking punch people in the head, it's surprisingly like quite focused on intimacy, which I quite enjoy. Obviously, there's like mental intimacy in terms of the journey that Creed's going on throughout the whole thing. But his connection with Bianca is like one of my favorite parts of the whole movie. I'm a big fan of how the cinematography shows this, right? There's like they frame... in your favorite aspect ratio, right? 2:3:9:1. Mm. A thing that you texted me about and were like, I'm so happy that it was in this aspect ratio and not 4:3.
Yeah, I didn't have to watch some dumb fucking movie in 4:3 for once.
I'm not biting. We're not doing this. It will turn into a 20-minute discussion. No, I'm praising your favorite aspect ratio. I think that they have this great talent in the movie about having these intimate moments expressed through wide shots, but then they put like set dressing and placements to close in the walls around the characters. Like there's the whole thing with the door, Bianca and doors is a big thing throughout the movie in terms of like visual language. How she kind of like closes the door so it's just herself. It's a big wide frame, but the only thing to look at is her. And it's an interesting use of space. I think that in the Philly cheesesteak diner that they go to,
the Jawn,
when they're eating two Jawns, they put this kind of Jawn in front of the camera. It's the backboard of the booth that they're sitting in, and normally it would be like an over the shoulder kind of, you know, mid shot upwards two conversation, two hander, but. They have this great
thing. What are you saying here?
I'm saying that, look, it's a hard thing to describe because it's a visual thing.
Okay.
So I'm doing my best.
I'm just so lost right now.
All right, what I'm saying is, to put it as simply as I can in my head, they basically have a wide frame, but they put the characters close together and then they close in the characters with like something on the frame, like a straight line down the middle of the frame. Where these two characters are like pushed together, like what I'm saying is they have a wide screen, but they confine the space that the characters have to be in. and to perform in. And I think that's, it's, I don't know, it's a lovely look at intimacy throughout the movie. It happens to Rocky when he goes and sees the grave. They frame up so that the tree locks him in, and the grave, there's also two gravestones, and him and Adrian and Paulie's grave are like tucked into quite a tight space within the frame, despite it being a big old wide angle. I don't know, it's lovely and it's quite interesting, I think.
I'm very happy for you.
For fuck. This is what I was afraid of. I don't like just reading a list.
I cannot say at any point I was watching the movie and be like, oh, fucking love the way that tree frames Rocky right now.
No, you know? But like, were there not parts where like the intimacy on the screen? I think it's quite like, I think it's
I liked the intimacy between Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson when they had sex.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was the clearest indication of the intimacy between
them. I was like, oh, there is some intimacy going on now. Okay. And then I looked away because I don't like to watch sex scenes in movies.
No, of course, yeah. Well, you're a very Christian man, as we all know.
It's true, yeah. Anyway, two tickets to Challengers, please.
That's not the joke. What do you mean? It's a joke. There's not three people involved. That's not the joke.
But the joke was me saying I don't like sex in movies. Anyway, I'm going to go watch Challengers.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah.
You should go and watch that movie. It's a good movie.
Ah! This must be what it's like for you being friends with me.
What's
Keep
going
all
on?
Of that in as it happens. I don't fucking care.
What do you think of Big Lonely Rocky? You said it's one of your favourite performances in the movie. What do you make of how what he's getting up to and doing?
Cancer?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure. No, like, I mean, like, his whole, like, if I break, I'm not going to fix it kind of thing. He's obviously a very lonely dude.
I like the way Michael B. Jordan calls him Unk.
Mm.
I would like a trendy young man to call me Unk. I feel that would make me feel cool, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Love Unk.
I think you... Are you not... Well, I guess I am an actual uncle.
I am also an uncle.
Yeah.
If my nephew starts calling me Unk, I'd fucking love that. I'll tell you what, I was not expecting Liverpool, of all places, to show up in this movie.
That's fucking... Do you know that's actually Tony Bellew? He's a famous fighter himself. He's a real boxer.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. I like that there's an element of realism to this. They have that Michael
Why
Buffett...
Why didn't they call him Tony Bellew, then?
Because they still want to set it in a world where he's not Tony Bellew. And
they should have got that little Irish boy. What's his name?
I don't think he's that little anymore, and I think he's a massive cocaine addict.
He's a massive prick, whoever he is.
Yeah. Oh, Conor. Oh no, is it Conor McGregor?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
He was just in that movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. I said it. I said the thing.
Oh no! No, please don't. Please.
No, I won't.
Thank you. All right. I like how Creed interprets Rocky's refusal of treatment. It's essentially another father figure just being like, "I'd rather die than be your dad." Like, that's how he sees it.
Yeah, I like that too. It's a very good scene. Mm. Michael B. Jordan does a great performance in that. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because it goes on for a bit. It's not like a scene and then it's dropped. Like, it fundamentally changes their relationship. Like, Sylvester Stallone, he's just like, Rocky's one of them, like, dads that doesn't know when he's put his foot in his mouth. Like, he says all the wrong, like, what he's saying from the perspective of, like, a lonely man that's, like, aged out of the only thing he's ever been known to be good at. Like, I see his perspective on it, but like, when he says little things to Donnie about how, like, you know, he's a great kid, he's a great fighter, and it's like, dude, like, call him your son, call him anything other than a fighter, because that's all he ever sees himself as. And it's like, he's just putting his foot in his mouth. I don't know, man. I really like it. And I know that the next scene he goes to he picks him up from the jail cell. I guess he, like, pays his bail or something. Or I think he just lets him out because he's like, hey, Rocky's here. I'm just going to let this kid out of the jail because he knows Rocky.
Yeah.
But he then immediately, the first thing he says is, what's up, son? And I'm like, okay, you went away. You figured it out. You're his dad. Like, you're just his dad now.
But he's also got a son.
Yeah, but this is another Rocky thing. Like, he's got a son, but his son's not a boxer, so he has no idea how to connect to him. Like, he has no clue on how to talk to him.
That seems kind of shitty.
Yeah, it is. I'm not saying it's a good thing.
That seems pretty awful, if I'm being honest.
It is. It's. I mean, but like, you do get the sense that the son removed himself. Like, he didn't want to grow up in Philly. And
yeah.
Sylvester Stallone's... Oh, Rocky's not leaving Philadelphia anytime
soon. But, like,
can
you imagine being that son and then turning on the TV and seeing your dad, who has always struggled to connect and bond with you emotionally,
yeah,
be like, this is my son. Hey, everyone, meet my black son. I love him, okay?
That's another laugh in the movie for me when, like, he's like, hey, this is my uncle. I'm going to go live with him for a bit. And Tessa Thompson's like, he's white.
I feel like you could have a white uncle.
I feel like you could as well, but she's very much not expecting that. And like, for him to be Rocky Balboa too.
Yeah, like, what if your mum or your dad,
Nathan, we all know how it works.
No, wait, I can figure this out. What if your mum or dad has a sibling and they married a white guy?
Yeah.
There you go. That's your uncle.
I know this. I feel like this is an exercise for you to figure out.
I was trying to make, because I knew it could make sense, but I couldn't figure out how, and I just needed to put that together. So I did.
Okay. Well, are you comfortable with it now?
So what I will say is, shame on you, Tessa Thompson. Maybe you should open your eyes a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Come on, Tessa Thompson.
Yeah. And stop putting people in boxes, because what will happen is they'll say, fuck you, and make their own.
I feel like you might have dipped into something else there. You might have tapped into another thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, fair enough. I like that. And I like that Adonis kind of leverages Rocky's love for people to, like, make
what
him
kind of
get
name
the
is
chemo.
Adonis, first of all?
It's fucking, I don't know. His dad was called Apollo.
I know. Both terrible.
Yeah, they're pretty
Dude's
iconic
named after
names.
A fucking spaceship, all right?
Okay. Can we talk about anything else other than a surface
which was
level?
Named after a fucking god, I get it. It's like calling someone Icarus.
Oh, you know? Yes, I know.
Yeah, I was your cat running garbage earlier. Whatever.
Yeah, I know. I've spent the whole week fucking doing this.
Okay.
I have no more room in my heart for any Icarus comparisons because I had to go and find stupid moments from a movie from 1968 where Icarus was on the screen. And it was hard.
Maybe
difficult to do.
You could have just used the footage of Eternals with Game
no,
of Thrones.
But then I had to. But they're talking about the specific thing. I had to go and find the specific thing.
You should have just said, I'm not doing it.
And don't pay me too. I'm fine with this. This depiction of Rocky is more of a complex view of, like, it used to be you need to win to feel good and you need to fight to prove how tough you are. And now it's way more a case of, like, that fight doesn't have to be punching someone. That fight can be a braver fight, an internal fight against loneliness and getting treatment that you maybe, you know, accepting life is sometimes the harder choice than just accepting, I'll just die. That seems easier. Like, that's a giving up mentality. And I think to put Rocky Balboa through that, like, one of, like, arguably pop culture's biggest tough guys, like, I just think it's quite an interesting choice.
No, one of the tough guys.
Do you think Rocky Balboa a tough guy?
If I think tough guy, I do not think Rocky Balboa.
Do you not? Like, he's known for being like, I'll punch people. Like, it's a big thing.
No.
Well, who's your tough guy go to?
Rambo.
Okay, same man. I can see maybe you're confusing him with Rocky. They look similar.
No, he's Rambo actually hunts and kills. He's got a bloodlust, okay?
All right, but there could
be
more than one.
The movie's called First Blood, okay?
There could be more than one.
First of all, no. And then Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
When he played Arnold Schwarzenegger, I guess. In one of his many tough guy roles.
Like, he has a few. Yeah, it's true. But I also think I think Rocky's up there. Rocky's a tough guy.
I don't think Rocky's a tough guy.
All right, you fight him then.
But I don't think of any boxer as a tough guy.
Do you not?
No.
Mate, some of them have the most ridiculously tuned mental discipline that you'll ever come across.
I feel like it's mostly performative, but maybe I'm just getting that confused with wrestling.
Well, wrestling is performative for a different reason.
Yeah, but also but boxing is performative. Like, the whole thing about, like, the press conference where they're like, oh, I wonder if they'll get mad at each other. They always get mad at each other.
No, right? and of course they do. And that is the selling the show mentality
exactly.
of it.
That's like, the kayfabe and all that bullshit.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of, like, you've got to be pretty mentally tough to walk into a ring and fucking get punched in the face 50 times and call it a job. Like,
I'll do it. I don't know. I reckon I could fight a boxer.
Do you?
I could fight Logan Paul, I reckon.
Why do you reckon?
I don't know.
I like that you went a boxer and then went Logan Paul.
All right, yeah, I know, that's fair. But like, maybe not like a proper boxer, but like a YouTube boy. Like, I could fight like
and win.
Yeah, I reckon I could fight and win with Logan Paul and Jake. I'll fight them both at once.
I don't know if that's true. I respect your ambition.
I think I could.
I think they could both kill you.
Look, I have been in 2 fights in my life, I think. Okay. Yeah. And both lasted about like 30 seconds. Okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I reckon I could take him.
Explain your tactics or your reasoning.
I don't know. I have absolutely no evidence to back this up other than just a gut feeling. It's like that thing, you know, like it's like the blind arrogance of man. You know, like when there was that trend of like people asking their partners, like, hey, do you think you could land a plane? And most men be like, oh yeah, definitely, you know?
Yeah, but I think anyone with a brain cell would be like, no, I probably couldn't. Admit your weaknesses. I couldn't land a plane. I'm not upset about it.
No, but like, the thing is, like, if you could land a plane, like, with help from, like, the fucking flight control or whatever.
All right, yeah, but then who's helping you fight Logan Paul?
I don't know.
Boxing a famously one-to-one sport.
That's fair.
You might have in your corner going, you said you could do it.
Do I not have Rocky in my corner?
Yeah, but he can't fight for you, Nathan. No, you still have to go out and get Lamp.
Well, and flight control can't fly for me. All right?
I guess, but they could, you know, all right, fine.
How are planes not, like, remote controlled these days?
All right, anyone?
How is it not, like, a guy in a room on, like, flight simulator, you know?
Yeah, I guess, but, like, you probably need someone there in case it goes wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
To, like, physically press a button or something.
Like, I don't know how planes work, all right?
No.
But I could land one. I know that.
You could land one into Logan Paul. That's the only way you're beating Logan Paul, if you fucking crash a plane into him.
I'll call him out. I'll call him out right now.
He needs it. He'll take it.
Well, there you go. Hey, Logan, it's going down. Is that what they say?
Something like that, yeah. To that effect.
Yeah. I'm calling you out, Logan. I want to fight you, and I want to get $1 million to do it. Okay.
And you have to
come
to England.
That's all they do this for. That's all it is.
No. People do a job for money? You've really cottoned onto something here, Nathan.
No, that's fair.
Oh, God. What do you think of Tessa Thompson's little songs?
Oh, not good.
Do you think? I quite like it. People agree with you on this. There's a large consensus that, like, she's... In later movies as well, she's depicted as quite a well-acclaimed singer and producer.
Oh, really?
And people are like, they could have at least made them better for this to be.
Yeah,
believable.
They could have. Like when he first like stumbled into that club, and then she's just there like singing that song. I'm like, oh no, this is not good.
She likes it when you grip.
Great.
I'll play a bit here. The joke will make more sense.
Okay, great.
You have to go back and listen to it and send me a voice note of you laughing.
I won't do that. Is this going to be one of those classic episodes where you use music to emphasize only your points but then don't emphasize any of my points?
Did you make any points about music that I can emphasize making a joke about how you're going to play All Too Well by Taylor Swift?
I said that it's bad. Well, I didn't say bad. I just said it's not great.
I'll play some Tessa Thompson music under this.
Great.
But we're both discussing it.
I rolled my eyes when the Rocky theme started playing.
This is where I know you weren't on board with it. Because that moment, if you're in the moment, if you're in the zone on this movie and you're enjoying it, that's such a triumphant moment.
It's so bullshit, man.
Why? Why is it? What made you go... all right. But
once again, this is the movie struggling with its idea of legacy again as well. It's like, it wants to be different from the Rocky franchise, but then it's like, oh, but remember Rocky?
It doesn't want to be different. What are you talking about? No, it doesn't.
It tries to be different.
I don't think it does. It stars Rocky and is about... You can't really... There are elements of this movie that largely relate back to the previous events of other Rocky movies. I don't think it's distancing itself from Rocky at all.
Well, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. I got that vibe.
Do you mean about the like the Creed legacy kind of thing?
Yeah.
I don't think it's doing that.
Okay.
All right, fine. But then to frame it in a point, this is where I know that it's like, this is this is just something about this movie that you wouldn't pick apart in other movies? Because you've been on record a few times of saying that in Rise of Skywalker, when they play the Star Wars theme, when all the things show up, you love it.
Yes, because I actually care about that movie.
Right, okay? But you can't say that it's like, I roll my eyes, I can't believe that they did something as
well,
cringe
I can,
as that.
Because I don't care about the movie, all right? I'm not but saying if... other people can't enjoy it. Yeah. I'm just saying me personally, I rolled my eyes and didn't enjoy it. I think that's perfectly okay to say.
Is it not just like cool though? Like
no, because it would be cool if I gave even the slightest shit about Rocky.
What about when he's running and all the Philly boys on their bikes, sir?
No, that was so fucking strange. It looks like, first of all, because we couldn't hear what he was saying, all right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it just looked like he was having a go at Rocky from the window.
No, he was...
It looked like he was angrily yelling at him while Rocky was just smiling and waving back.
No, he was like, I got this.
I know, but I'm saying it looked stupid, okay? I know what he was saying, Lawrence.
Oh, right.
Is there anything else you want to say about this movie?
Not really. I think I really like it. And I understand it doesn't gel with everyone. I understand it's a big ask because it's like a sports movie. And if people don't... Like, there's not much to connect you to it, especially if you're not interested in what it's like. Like, the sport at large, and also have no connection to the Rocky thing. Which I didn't, but I was interested in watching it. But no, I think it's... Like, overall, I think it's... I don't know, man. Like, it could genuinely... It might be one of my new favourites. Like, it has to be telling that I've watched it 3 times in a year and I'm not tired of watching it. And I think that it's... I don't know, just a quite an insightful look into, like, the comments on mental health amongst this kind of, like, untamed, unwarranted anger. I like its comments on legacy... quite a bit. I think they're quite an interesting take on, like, your sense of, or people's sense of, like, worth and belonging, especially with, like, familial ties and stuff. I don't know, but I really, really like it. I think it's great, and I think the performances are great, and I think Ryan Coogler directs the shit out of it. Like, I think he directs it in a way that makes it always feel quite personal, despite the fact you're dealing with, like, it manages to have its cake and eat it too. You can watch a boxing match as a boxing match will be shown on TV, but you never lose sight of that human connection that it gave to me. So that's my overall sum up. Where would you land on it? Because I know we've largely bickered back and forth about, like, certain points, but, like, as it stands, and I know you say, like, it's just fine, but, like, where do you put it as a movie?
What happened to Rocky's cancer?
I think he's still... Well, I know what happens. He recovers, he gets over it, but the end of the movie is like I think he's done his first round of chemo and he's like in that phase where he's recovering, but it also might get worse or it could be fine. Because the nurse says to him, like, if you had chemo and got surgery, like, you have a fairly decent chance of getting through this. And that's why
I feel like they just dropped that plot point at one point.
I don't think so. He shows him at the end walking up the stairs. Creed's like having to help him up the stairs.
Yeah, because he's old.
Yeah, but that's very much a point of, like, when the movie touched in on Rocky, he was kind of a shadow of the former Rocky, but now he's willing to climb those stairs again. And he's obviously weaker than he was before, but he's still finding value in fighting and trying to live another day.
Do you know if you go to those stairs, there's people running up and down them all day long?
I knew that there was, like, it's quite a big thing. I know that they put the Rocky Balboa statue there and then they, like, left it for a little bit.
I don't know what that is.
You know when Creed walks over to the Rocky Balboa statue and there's, like, tourists taking a picture of it?
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, well, anyway, there was a Rocky Balboa statue and then they left it there because people in Philadelphia were like, we think this is pretty cool. I don't know if they took it down at one point, but yeah, I think that's pretty nifty. But no, aside from Rocky's cancer, where are you at with it as a whole?
Technically, it is a proficiently well-made movie.
Yeah.
Okay? I just don't give a shit about it.
It's just not your cup of tea.
Not for me. No.
Fair enough. Look,
I had a relatively okay time whilst watching it. I was never watching it like, this is bad, okay?
Mm.
So I guess that's something. I cannot understate how aggressively I just do not care.
Okay? It's just one of them, like, you turn it off and you're like, I didn't have a bad time, but whatever.
Yeah, I could quite happily never watch that movie again and be perfectly okay with it.
Fair enough.
Okay. Yeah. And at the same time, if I don't think I'd ever go out of my way to watch it again, but if it happened to be on, I wouldn't be like, I'm having a terrible time, I'm going to turn this
off.
You
wouldn't be like, get this shit off the telly,
I would be like, fine, I guess this is happening.
You know? It's an airplane movie for you.
No, because I feel like you have to choose an airplane movie.
Okay, yeah.
Well, these days you do, I guess.
I haven't been on a plane in many years, so I know.
Okay. No, you have to choose your own movie now, okay?
Okay.
So you have to actively seek it out. It's more like, it's like Netflix, though.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Do they have good options?
No, really.
No. Is there like one thing you've heard of and you're like, well, I guess I'm watching that?
No, there's lots of things you've heard of. They're just bad and also weirdly censored as well. I remember I watched Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri when I was on my way to America, actually. And I always remember there's quite a few lines that are weirdly censored over, but one of them, when Woody Harrelson, he clearly says like something, I can't remember what it is, but he clearly like says fucking, like, don't you fucking talk, that's probably not the line, but he's like clearly like, don't you fucking talk to me like that. But then in the airplane version of the movie that I watched, it's don't you, and then clearly cuts to badly Woody Harrelson ADR fudging. Talk to me like that.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't even like change it to like bloody talk to me or something. Like
No. It was fudging. Yeah.
My when you said they censored it at first, when I was thinking like if the movie had no control in it, I was worried it was gonna be like, don't you, thank you for traveling with Ryanair, talk to me like that.
You think you're getting a movie on a Ryanair flight? Fucking hell.
I haven't been away in a while, right? I don't know.
You'd be lucky to get a fucking seat on a Ryanair flight, man.
Right? Yeah, even you bought it, but you have to get on. You're like, where is it?
You bought it, but you got to fucking fight for it when you get there.
They've just nailed a church pew to the fucking side of the plane. They're like, just plonk somewhere on that, I guess. I thought it was funny. Fuck.
I said yes.
Oh, I didn't hear. Nathan, it is that time of the show where we recommend some stuff to each other and to our listeners. It could be something we've watched, read, listened to, experienced, or just something we've done in the past week that we would love to share with each other and to the good people listening at home. I'm not going to do the job. We retired it last time.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, I thought you'd be happy about that. I am going to recommend a movie called The Mitchells versus the Machines.
I've seen this.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, it's good.
It's a great movie. Yeah, I hadn't even heard of it until I was kind of perusing through
Netflix.
You
hate animation.
No, it's not true. I quite like a lot of animated movies.
You have a bias against it. You think it's just for kids.
I never said this.
Yeah. That's why
you just got cross because I never finished The Clone Wars.
Yeah, no, that's why you won't watch The Bad Batch.
That's not true. I just have no interest in The Bad Batch.
There you go. Oh, like, well, when it's Creed, it's different.
Right.
There you go. There you go. See, oh, hypocrite. God.
No, not a hypocrite. I just don't care that much about Star Wars.
And I don't care about boxing.
That's fine, Nathan. I'm not saying that you need to. I watched 5 seasons of Rebels for you. Shut the fuck up.
4.
Oh, okay. Was there not 5?
Nope, there's 4.
I'm not going to challenge you. You know better. That's just a fact.
Trust me, I am correct. There's 4.
Okay. I think it's a good movie. It's a great movie if no one's heard of it. It's kind of this... It's a family versus a robot apocalypse, basically. It's got, like, Spider-Verse Sony-style animation. It's very, like, visually interesting. There's a lot going on in every frame. It's one of the movies that, like, you look at it and you go, how the fuck did an animator even conceive of this? But, yeah, great film. There's quite a lot of nice messaging about, like, kind of not aligning with your family in terms of, like, their interests and your interest and becoming disillusioned with that connection as you grow up and kind of falling, not out of love with your family, but you have less and less in common and kind of touching back into that. Yeah, I don't know, lovely, lovely movie and very funny. I very much enjoyed it. It's got one of the all-time great movie sets of parents, which I found quite good. What did you think of it? It's rare that we recommend stuff to each other that we've both seen.
I enjoyed it. Thought it was good.
Yeah. Well, there you are then. There you have it.
There you have it.
Certified another Happy Pod fresh rating. What are you recommending?
I'm going to recommend a movie that I wish had been recommended to me at some point, but it's a movie called All of Us Are Strangers.
For fuck's sake.
A movie I watched this week, or last week, one of the weeks, I can't remember.
Are you going to tell the story about how you rung me up and told me to tell you something?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not going to say much about it. I'm just going to say I had a really good time watching it, and I think it's a very beautiful movie, and that's all I'm going to say. Find out the rest for yourselves.
I think I've said more on this podcast about it, so...
You've never mentioned it on this podcast, I'd remember.
Fuck's sake. Lovely. Well, yeah. Oh, so two recommendations we've both seen. Shut up! I have. I've seen it twice. I've seen it more than you.
Well, then why didn't you tell me about it?
Oh, shut up. I can't stand it. You know how to push my buttons. Thank you very much for listening. If you've enjoyed the show, then please feel free to leave us a 5-star review. It would be very, very much appreciated. You can do that directly through your podcast platform of choice. Apple is always a good one because they let you write a little message, which is nice to see. You can also follow us on Twitter at Another Happy Pod. Be sure to go over there, check out what's going on, and check the link in our pinned tweet to suggest a topic. We don't always kind of make room for them, but we sometimes get around to them, and anything is possible. Who knows? Nathan, we have yet another podcast, if you can believe it.
We do. It's called Still Got Legs. It's our Doctor Who rewatch podcast, where every single week we watch and discuss an episode of Doctor Who, and it's a bloody good fun time. So fucking listen or I'll kill you. Fucking hell, 16 likes on this tweet.
Fucking hell.
This Caravan of Garbage tweet.
Hell yeah.
A banger.
We're famous. Post that picture of Hermione going, OMG, a hit tweet.
As James liked it or something, what's going on?
That tends to be the way.
Yeah.
Anyway, next week, everyone get excited because we're going to be doing this.
From the very beginning, I realised I saw the world differently than everyone else. That didn't sit well with some people. But I wasn't for everyone. I guess they were always scared that I'd be a psycho.
Cruella de Vil.
Oh, it is Cruella, isn't it?
Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Oh, man, the stone.
It's not Mario.
Wahoo, it is not indeed Mario. It's in fact Cruella. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you next Friday at 10 a.m. Stay sexy, stay cool. Yeah. Remember, all right, as long as you're talking, you're not listening. Good advice.
Is that in the movie?
Yeah, that's the thing you said you rolled your eyes at.
I rolled my eyes at the theme. I didn't roll my... Well, no, what you said.
Oh, the quote. Yeah, that's in the movie.
When is that in the movie?
When he makes...
What was the quote again? I didn't listen to you.
As long as you're talking, you're not listening. You can't learn if you're talking.
When is that?
It's when Rocky... It's when Rocky makes Creed stop.
See you next week, everyone.
I don't like you. I've decided... Press the button. Fuck you.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50,
luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.